Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny Brams here live on YouTube, on Twitter. It's a little bit late, so I don't know if anyone's going to join me, but really fired up after a big 2-0 win for the Crown in Philadelphia. Had to fire up the live stream, and it's the Ajimong brace that did it, folks. 3 points in the bag. Let's talk about it all. Why don't we? We're here to talk the match. We're here to talk everything we saw. We're here to talk Ajimong with the brace. We're here to talk Kalina with the crazy blunders early, but somehow didn't have to pay for it. We're going to hear from Dean Smith. I just got done talking to Patrick and Dino at the presser, so I'm going to play some clips of that for y'all. And thanks to anyone who is hopping in here. Like I said, I'm not sure exactly how many are going to show up. It is pretty late on a Saturday night, and most of you all have stuff to do. But, hey, figured why not, because I'm fired up. I'm excited. I got the captain over my shoulder, and we're rocking and rolling. So here we go. I forgot to change back into my jersey. I was wearing my jersey for the match, and then I switched into a nice little polo here to do the presser, because you don't want to wear the team's jersey at the presser, right? I mean, it's bad enough. I'm already, you know, fan journalist enough with it already. So I changed to be a little more professional. I forgot to change back before I started. So I do forget. But how about it? There's actually people here. Shout out to Smoke and Barrels Outdoors. Says Adji had a hell of a match. He sure freaking did. The Legacy Kiddo says, let's go with the fire. And I'm feeling fiery and fired up. And that's why we're doing it. As Chief Kiefer checks in. Love you, Kiefer. Thanks for checking in, man. Pretty good game if you ignore the first 30 minutes. You and Dean Smith are of a mind there. And as I said, you'll hear that momentarily. After I finish checking in with all the people, Brian Marley, good to see you in the mix. Answer the phone. Pat is calling. You know it's true. It's the thumbnail logo on the top of the episode. So there you go. Bridget McCall from the Queen's Pitch. How you doing, Tiger Girl? Danny is back. Danny's always been here. Danny doesn't, you know. You get as much Danny as Danny has to give. Michael Volak also checking in. Thanks to all the friends of our show for checking in. We can't help but love it. We absolutely adore it, in fact. And y'all make the world go round. I don't have anyone really here with me to talk to. I'm flying solo, so I got to kind of carry this thing. But it feels fine, you know, because I got all my ride or dies here in the comments section. So y'all keep commenting. I'll bounce ideas off the comments. But the first thing I think we need to do is look at some of the highlights, right? I've got the highlights clipped. So without further ado, we'll talk about Kalina. We'll rewind back to Kalina in a moment. But we got to start with the goals. So let's start with Patrick Ajimong.
Dumped to the floor, but advantage awarded as Urunen will put the cross in towards Patrick Ajimong! And the frustrations for Philadelphia at Subaru Park continue. It's Patrick Ajimong, his fourth of the year. Relied upon this season to be the regular center forward, and he's delivered again as Charlotte take the lead 10 minutes into the second half.
Well, and Charlotte deal with it so well defensively, and then they're able to play out. Then the game gets stretched. And then there's the service, but it starts with Bender and his ability to be an outlet, create the little 1v2. And then Ajimong, he's always going to be the focal point in the 18-yard box, does so well to get on the wrong side of Jack Elliott and just hammers that home with his head. Great build-up play, little 1-2.
So nice. We love to see it. We absolutely love to see it. And, you know, I want to know what y'all think about this goal. Smoke and Barrel says that's the best header I've ever seen from 33. I agree. We saw the first half where Pat had a chance at a header that was a little bit, it wasn't the best chance, but you always say, you know, even the announcer in the match said it, you know, when there's two headers on a corner kick, that should mean a goal. And Patrick got a second header off of a corner kick from, I think he came off a defender's head, but he did not put it in. He put it over. So I think that kind of lit a fire on him, and that was great. Andres Echevarria, thanks for checking in, man. So glad the goals came through the run of play. Pat needed this game. I agree. We're going to hear from Pat. I believe Pat had no goals in 7 games, and then he had 2 goals in 7 minutes. So that's just how quickly things can change. Shout out to Carol Walton, good friend of the show, a great reporter here. Obviously, we love to shout out Carol, and she pointed that out. And as Chief Kiefer says, that first missed header of the corner, off the corner, it was nice to see him score a bullet of a header on this one. So let's take a little closer look before we get shut down here. And, you know, this is nice. And what I loved about this, I loved this goal for Patrick, obviously. And the cross is absolutely wicked as well. we'll see a nice shot of that at the end of this clip. But what I absolutely love, because this is – first off, I love all the fan support. We were hearing Charlotte fans chanting on the Apple TV way more than Philly fans. It was great. It was absolutely great. We'll touch on that in a second. But this ball, like, it's a great team goal. Like, this ball comes out to Kerwin, and then Kerwin – the one touch there from Bender is just so nice. Like, when was the last time you saw just a first touch, like – in the run of play, keep the ball progressing forward and give Urine in that space. So nice to see Bender back in this lineup. And then you see that just wicked bend. The wicked bend on this cross from Urine is just so nice. It turns again. It kind of like it goes and then it turns. It's almost like a golf shot from the Finn man. And Patty's loving it. And he gets a huge hug here from his boys in the subs. I love when we score and the subs are like down in the corner. It's always like a great thing. And we absolutely love to see that celebration. And good on Patrick for scoring it. And it kind of, like he said, it got him his confidence back, basically. We talked about the run of seven. And we're going to hear from him in a second. I'll quit teasing forward. Let's just watch the second goal, and then we can hear what Patrick had to say about it. And then we'll also hear from the gaffer, Dean Smith. But here is goal number two from Patrick Ajimo.
Limping away, but should be good to go as Zapata will go in behind towards Ajimong, again creating that vertical space. Ajimong will go it alone, the step over Patrick Ajimong! A masterclass of 10 minutes of play from Patrick Ajimong! The step overs! And fires it into that bottom corner, sending those traveling supporters into delirium. Charlotte, two goals to the good.
Oh, yeah, just said it. This is the opportunities they'll be looking for in transition. Good run from Ajimong just to get himself faced up 1v1. Really poor defending from the quality of Gleznes. Just tries to get a little poke in. There's a little step over that baits Gleznes initially, gives him just that little bit of window. And then just hammers it home, and Rick doesn't see it till the last second. Really needs to be doing better with that as well on his near.
Look at how happy Niko Pekovic is there to give Patrick a big hug. I mean, that's one of our goals of the season. It probably won't make, you know, the top five list of anybody at the end of the year, but how often do we see our guys do step overs and then like lose the ball? So to see Patrick like do a nice skillful step over to get into space, absolutely put Jakob Gleznes on space. On skates, and then finish with the left. It's pretty nice. We saw that's a great pass come down from Abada, as Chief Kiefer points out, and Abada really helped make that happen. We can watch again a couple replays here, and it is a really nice ball forward from Liel. Let's rewind just a second here. I mean, he's running in, and boom, just like finds the space, and Patrick, he drags. Gleznes is really good, but he's a center back, and he does not want to be on an island that far out in the box. And Patrick made him pay for it. He really hurt him. And again, this huge hug with Petkovic is absolutely incredible. Gotta love when the subs are all down there. Like I said, two goals in 7 minutes for Patrick. Just very, very nicely done. He's loving it. And the step over was just nice. Like we see so many times, our guys like try these step overs that don't work, and this time he actually used it to great effect to sort of get the defender to go by him and get easy onto his left. Boom. I mean, that's like FIFA five-star skills right there. You know, I just think for all – we've seen some great goals this year, but I really like this one. I also love the fact that he tucked it in inside post here, you know, against a young keeper who might not be expecting that. Philly put an 18-year-old keeper in that they've brought up through their academy, and it cost them for sure. They're definitely having keeper issues. Philadelphia's having massive, massive issues just in general. Shout out to friend of the show here, David Docuson, a tremendous friend of our show, who's with those traveling supporters that we all saw this tweet, wanted to grab it real quick. We are at the match in Philly and can confirm it's real quiet in here after that second goal from Ajimong. The crowd went from super into it into a beautiful stunned silence. Lots of people headed for the parking lot in the 75th minute. So shout out to the club for their, you know, away days program, helping people get free tickets, you know, one free ticket a year. We figured the Docuson group here used that to their advantage to go see the match in Philly. Turns out it paid off really well. And like I said, we started hearing all these chants. All the Charlotte fan chanting got real loud on Apple TV, and we were hearing, you know, later when Kalina would make some saves, we'd hear the da-na-na-na, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Kalina. It was great. So You know, Bridget McCall is always going to step up for her keepers. Her daughter's a goalkeeper, so she's defending the young Philadelphia keeper. And I'm not necessarily bashing him, but he just, you know, when you're playing a guy in his first MLS start who's 18 years old, you really need to pepper him. And I think we did. Let me see. I'll bring up the shot statistics. Andrew Rick is his name. He actually made some huge saves late. He made a really nice save on Bronico. It was kind of shot right at him, but for Charlotte to pepper, 18 shots, 5 on goal, 2 were scored. So Andrew Rick, not horrible, certainly, but we punished him like we needed to there. There was no way we could get away with losing that game. Let's just be honest. As Chief Kiefer says, you know, the Philly fans were started chanting, sell the team. So things are not well in Philadelphia whatsoever. Let's hear from Patrick Ojemong talking about his goals, because, you know, who doesn't want to see a big old smile and Patrick Ojemong just reveling in the glory of a brace that won a match?
I think it just clicked. Every time you get one, I think it felt like a sense of relief. So I felt a little bit more relaxed and more fluid in my play. So I wasn't – so when the second goal came, it was like it was just because of the confidence that I regained. So, yeah, it's tough. Of course, no striker wants to go 7 without a goal, but happy to get 2 today. Like, that's what I do. It's just continuing to work even when things aren't going your way. That's how I was raised, you know. Like, my parents really did a lot in that aspect, so I learned a lot from them. And when things don't go the way, they still keep going. So I think that's the same thing for me. No matter what, I'll just keep my head down and keep pushing no matter what is happening.
Hey, what's up, Pat? Jacob Glesnes, one of the best defenders in the league. You put him on skates and then scored with the left. Talk me through that goal, please.
Ball's in behind, and I realized that I was in 1v1 situation. So I just slowed myself down, and I do like 1v1s. So I know if I could off-balance them, then I get a shot off. That's all that matters. And I was able to get onto my left foot, and I like shooting my left. So I trust it and was able to go on the goal. So it's a good feeling, yeah.
That old trusty left foot of old Patrick Ojemong, you got to love it. He really made the most of that goal. And it's beautiful to see. And we love to see a young man just excelling and growing into his power. I think it's time to pay the man. If we weren't already working on that new contract, it needs to be presented to his agents fairly soon, I think. Otherwise, John Hayes is going to take over and jump in and start strong-arming those negotiations. What do we think the manager thought of Patrick's performance? Let's hear from Dino, and then I want to see some comments from y'all, so jump in, please.
He had a big chance in the first half when he should have pulled the trigger and had a shot, and then he missed the header that came across, but he's got that will to keep going, and it was a super header. He scored good movement off the defender as well, and then a really good finish on his left foot. He just keeps going, and he must be horrible to play against for defenders. And, you know, he's going to keep getting chances and he'll keep missing some. But when he's on fire like he was in the second half tonight, he's a joy to watch.
When Patrick's on fire, your defense is terrified, no doubt. And you can tell just like Patrick loves playing for Dean Smith and Dean Smith loves coaching Patrick Ojemong. And it's a beautiful connection. And it's why we could let someone like Enzo Capetti just walk even before the summer. And it's clear that Patrick is the man. So like let's just leave it at that, and let's, you know, we go again against Houston. We might as well bring up the table here. We'll keep looking at the table, but the table is already changing. This was right after the match. I screen grabbed this. We were in third. I think we've already moved back to fourth because Red Bulls did take a lead against Toronto. So we're holding strong in that top 4 or 5 range though, and it's looking really, really nice. Cincinnati had a rough go of it tonight. Teams are going to drop points. And I'll admit I'm a little nervous about that upcoming stretch in a couple weeks where we go to Columbus and Cincy, you know, both in the same week. But we've got Houston. We've got Miami before that. Missy's not going to be there. So it's our chance to go ahead and take it and just keep racking up points. 32 points in 20 games just seems unreal considering the depths of where we were. And I believe I'll credit Steve Goldberg from the press conference on this one. I didn't look this up to verify, but he said it's the best point total return of any Dean Smith club in his first 20 matches, which is absolutely phenomenal to see. It's just an example of what a great hire that was, and the fact that Zorn and Joe and the team went out and found a way to bring a Premier League manager with pedigree in here who was ready to come to this league and do something great and special, and we're getting to see it happen, is just, it's a joy. It makes you really love this club even more. So thanks for everyone commenting. Like I said, Michael Volak says Kalina had some clutch saves down the stretch. Yet another Kalina sheet. I agree. It's our ninth of the season. We can definitely talk about that, and I will talk about that because Kalina earns his praise as well, for sure. Brian Marley singing red, red wine, stay close to me. Brian, is that the UB40 red, red wine or the Neil Diamond red, red wine? That's the only question. Lad on Fire takes note that we've only got one DP rocking right now. So if the signings come through in the summer, this is a team that can very well look to be hosting a playoff series. It's funny, on the last episode, I said, I hope we get that top four to host a playoff game or whatever. And heard from Joe LeBoux, the president. He said, Danny, it's a three-game series. We're going to host a playoff game as long as we're top seven, bro. It's all good. So shout out to Joe for always fact-checking me on that stuff, for sure. Good luck on the vote. UB40 is better, Brian Marley answers. We appreciate that. And Lad on Fire says, get Kalina in the All-Star game. I think it's going to happen. I don't see how it doesn't happen. He's continued to do – since the voting opened up, he got a lot of love. And now he's getting – he's gotten even more clean sheets since then. So makes perfect – all the sense in the world to me that Christian Kalina should be an All-Star. However, before we go forward, we have to go back because this is one of the most boneheaded plays that I've ever seen any keeper make. And unfortunately, I have to show it to y'all so we can talk about it. We will show some good saves like Michael Volak called out later. But first, we have to see this because this was a heart in hands moment for sure. Looks like there's no audio on that clip, my bad. So let's just play it right here so I can talk over it. The casualness here, the casualness of old KK here. You know, he's looking at the striker who's eventually going to pressure him. He's got to know that that guy's coming out, but he misses the pressure coming, and all of a sudden he takes one too many touches there, and all of a sudden it's over. But he does a good job of at least sliding to force a tough shot. And look at calm as you like, Adi Milanda just barely even worried about, you know, he. Thank God for Adilson Milanda. Like, I've sung the praises of Adi Milanda, like, all season long. He's just grown into just, you know, a defensive organizer extraordinaire, you know, to put it mildly. I think Adi Milanda, just like Kalina, deserves to be in the All-Star game as well. And Paul D shouts it out. Good on Milanda for handling that. Yeah, like, even when Baribo got the shot off, I was like, ah! But then I was like, oh, wait, it's not a super powerful shot. Adi can get there, and it was calm as you like. And we love to see that. And as Kiefer says, blood pressure was through the roof watching this. But you know whose blood pressure was not up was Adi Milanda, as the Lad on Fire comments. How insane was it that Adi was just that cool? And he really was. It was awesome to see. And Kalina would bounce back from that. And he would bounce back in a big way. And he made a lot of big saves. The one I chose to highlight here is this one that we'll watch now on Quinn Sullivan, where it's just like, that's point blank. That's going to be scored. That, I don't know the exact XG on that. I'll look it up in a second. But this is going to be scored, like, you know, like 9 times out of 10, it feels like, for sure to me. And Kalina just stood him up, and then he goes and grabs the cross comeback in. He grabs it. Kalina did a real nice job, I felt, tonight of catching crosses, not just punching crosses, but I thought he was catching crosses very well. And so we love to see that for sure. And he's Kalina. He's our freaking guy. I think he's potentially a candidate to wear the captain's armband next week, because the one unfortunate thing of this entire night was, with about 10 seconds left, the captain, Ashley Westwood, pulled off a foul that got him a yellow card that's going to see him suspended for the Houston match. And I, you know, Dean called it a soft yellow, and, you know, he said maybe, I'm not sure if we can appeal it or not, but, you know, it's a shame that we're going to lose our captain. Cause I know it seemed like it was a very big goal of his to play every minute of the season. They flashed the stat on Apple today that he's second in the league in distance covered. He's covered the second most distance of any player in this league, second only to Cole Bassett, who's playing up there in Colorado and, you know, is a world-class American player. So, yeah, I don't know what to say. But the ratings look nice. As Josh Hewitt points out, the whole back line gets 7.5 or better for sure. They all did really well. Each one of them played their part. And, of course, Addy gets – I think you got to give Addy an 8.0 for getting that clearance off the line. But what do I know? That saved a goal for sure and really changed the match. Everybody doing well. Brant Bronico probably deserved a 7 as well, but they just probably took him 2 points down for missing that high XG chance. That was a really nice save by Andrew Rick. You can't really blame him for that necessarily. But let's see if I can find Quinn Sullivan's XG on that save that Kalina made on him, because it really was – quite exquisite and extraordinary. And Quinn Sullivan's a hot young player. The SOFA score is calling this only a 0.18 XG on the Sullivan shot that Kalina saved. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I thought it would be at least a 0.25, but I don't really – I'm going to make a huge confession right now. I have zero clue how the XG formulation works. So, I don't know. Seemed like it was higher chance to me. It was point blank, and he didn't do a very good job of beating the keeper like he should have. Michael Volak says, we need a nickname for the back line. I think it's got to be wine-themed. It could be called, Callie's Vineyard or Dino's Vineyard, or I don't know. The back line could be called, what's the winery or the cellar, the wine cellar? I don't know. Something, the cask, the cask of Amontillado. I don't know, for all you Poe fans in the house, that we could go that direction as well. But yeah, something wine related, maybe just call them the red wine drunks. Who knows? But they looked really good. Let's hear now from Dean Smith talking about just the game in general and where he rated it. If you remember, he rated the squad only a 6 out of 10 in the home win against DC. So I wanted to, when I was talking to him at the press conference, I wanted to know a little bit about, I had friends telling me this was our best performance of the year. So I asked him that question and then followed up with just, where did he rate things?
I was disappointed with the first 20 minutes. It almost felt like, when they had the ball, we kind of let them have the ball. And when we had the ball, they kind of let us have the ball. It was, there was nothing really happening apart from a couple of errors from uncharacteristic errors, as I said earlier. But from that water break onwards, I thought the last hour, I thought it was a really, really good performance from us. And you could see there was a growing confidence between the players as well.
If the DC win was a 6 of 10, what was this?
Yeah, it's gone up to a 7. I'll give them a 7.
speaking of 7, it's 7 points in 7 days. It's 10 of the last 12. What's it like to be at the wheel of one of the best runs in club history?
Yeah, no, it's really it's really important that we don't rest on it. We always now will celebrate and enjoy that victory, but with one eye on to the next game, which is Houston, and that's all we can do. I said to the players before the game, we're past the halfway season, 17 games to go of this regular season, and it goes very quickly. So make sure we save it every game that we play and give it our best.
How will you decide who wears the captain's armband on against Houston?
I haven't even thought about it yet, to be honest, but we've got some candidates. We've got a leadership group within the team, within the squad. So I think there's plenty of candidates.
7 out of 10, he bumped it up. I mean, a 2-0 road win feels like, he could maybe have gone out with an 8 there. But, hey, as we like to say, Dino's at the wheel, and he's the one who decides the rating. So, I liked the fact that I got to ask him that question at the end of, who will be the captain? Because it's a big question. Houston's no joke. Houston's a quality side, and we should expect to be able to get some points against them. They had a comeback win tonight against DC United, but, hey, we beat DC United, so we should be able to beat Houston. You could tell that Dino had not thought about it, because he's still coming to terms with the ramifications of what Ashley Westwood is not going to be there. That stupid yellow card at the end. I mean, I got to say, I know it was probably soft, but it's real damn shame that it was completely unnecessary and is going to cost our captain a game. I also happened to ask Patrick Aujmon the question about what it'll be like adjusting to playing without Westy. So here's his thoughts on that as we start to wrap up this special late night post game show.
So it's a big loss, of course. And he's been playing every game, and he's been a captain and a leader in the field. But I think that's something that we need to deal with, and we have to be able to adjust. We have a lot of good players here, and I think no matter what, it's always like who's up next in that spot to help us get the 3 points. And I think we all know, like, we're a team, we're a family here, so we are going to support everybody, and we trust anybody and everybody who's going to play. So we're ready for it.
So there you have it. For the guys, they're like, hey, there's plenty of guys who could wear that captain's armband for us. I want to know from y'all. Let's hear in the comment section from everybody else. Chief Kiefer nominates Kalina, maybe Byrne. That makes a lot of sense to me. I think Adi Milanda at this point has certainly earned a chance to wear a captain's armband. I think that'd be a really nice milestone and gesture for him. So let me know in the comments on this video. We're about to wrap it up here because it is late. It's very late, and I'm just grateful to all the thousands of you who decided to stay up late with me and watch this little solo stream. I put together a few clips and had a good time. Volak nominates Milanda. He and I are seeing eye to eye as usual. Can't wait to get some barbecue with you again, my friend. And Byrne is an unsung hero. Brandt is a nominee from Lad on Fire. Mint City Matthew, what's up, man? Good to see you. Commenting and watching the stream, we appreciate it. Believe Milanda. Joe Garcia, sorry you were late. Hey, you're right on time, baby. It's like Coolio once saying, I'll see you when you get there, if you ever get there. So don't worry about it. I'm sorry that I have I've run out of juice here after 26 minutes, but I do love to see everybody jumping in with comments. Give Yere the band, one of the most consistent in the squad. That's a nice left field suggestion from Josh Hewitt. And Len Cornacchia says Byrne as well. I think that's good. Joe, what's up? You say, am I going to Hot Fly tomorrow? Of course I am, because it's the captain's release party. Everybody is, you got to know, right? The captain release is coming up huge. If you don't know, it's going to be gigantic. I'm going to screen share here so that we can see exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't know, Hotfly, our good friends, no longer our official sponsor, but still our very good friends, has put this together, a special beer just brewed in honor of Ashley Westwood. It's called The Captain. It's got his signature on it. This is going to be, it's a Pilsner. It's going to be easy summer drinking beer. Even if it's hot, you can slam these things. Westwood is going to be in attendance. There's a meet and greet with Captain Westwood at Hot Fly from 1:30 to 2:30, if I'm not mistaken. It might be 12:30 to 1:30, I forget. But the event, the full event, I believe, runs from 12 to 5. And it's going to be just a blast. If I've given any wrong information here, I do apologize, Hoppers. But get there around 1 o'clock and you're going to have a really good time. I'm sure tons of players are going to be showing up to support their captain. And knowing that he no longer has to worry about playing next week, hey, you never know. Maybe Ashley's going to go extra hard and just get really lit. Maybe he knew. Maybe he got that yellow on purpose because he was like, hey, I'm going super hard at Hot Fly tomorrow and I need to get the next game off because I'm going to need a week to recover from what I'm about to do on Sunday. So we'll see. We hope that everyone had a great time watching this match. I appreciate if you're still here watching this stream as we wrap it up here. I'm going to close it out before we hit the 30-minute mark, I promise. But please just click like on the video. And, like, if you're not already subscribing to our YouTube page, subscribe. Because, the only thing we really have to go on to show that people are liking what we're doing is these, like, silly little numbers. And it pains me sometimes to, like, make the ask. But I've had a rough week. So if you love me, I'm on my way to bouncing back, but if I've had a rough, rough week, if you don't know why, come find me and I'll tell you all about it, but you'll be bored instantly. But we definitely would love to see the numbers on the subscribers go up, the numbers on the likes go up, the comments and all that, and y'all are the best at it. So thank you so, so much to everyone for being part of the Charlotte Soccer Show family. It's an absolute joy to be part of this club and to bring y'all the shows and the commentary and the videos and everything we got. So I love you. And as always, it's for the crown, baby.